Let me read the scripture, and then I'll pray, and then I'll start the sermon. This is God's word, and it is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. May the Lord bless the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your precious word. And this morning we ask that may your Holy Spirit open our eyes to see the wonders found in your eternal word. Lord, our minds are dull. Awaken them, Lord, and help us to receive your word humbly, and may your word change our lives. We commit this time in your hands, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, Europe, once upon a time, it was a gospel flourishing region. But today it is so sad that a lot of churches have been converted to pubs, cinema theaters, and so on. And what is the reason? Because people have forgotten who Christ is. And the question I like to ask you this morning is this: who is the most important person in your life? Or what is the important thing in your life? Of course, the children will say, my parents. The husbands would say, their wives. The wives would say, their husbands. And these are all correct answers. But what I'm looking for is this: is Christ the important person in your life? Because Christ says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Did you hear that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first Christ. And our failure is this, that we regard everything else more important than Christ. And this can be demonstrated in the way we look at worship services, prayer meetings, and Bible studies. And that's why this parable is important to us this morning. This parable concerning the kingdom of God as the treasure and pearl is only found in the Gospel of Matthew and not any other Gospels. But then let me begin by asking, what are parables? Why Christ used parables? Simply, parables are earthly stories which portray heavenly meanings, which is correct. But to be precise, parables are comparisons with scenarios and stories drawn from everyday life in order to conceal and reveal spiritual truth relating to the kingdom of God. That's what one author defines. And often in the parables, Christ uses common elements like coins, sheep, mustard seed. And in this particular parable, he uses treasure and pearl so that simple people can understand. But on the other hand, the parable challenges us and demands a response. It also gives us encouragement and also warnings. Kingdom means monarchy. There are no two or three rulers, but only one ruler. And another author defines the kingdom of God like this: It is the gracious reign of God in the hearts of His people by faith in His Son, the King of the Kingdom. And when we talk about kingdom of God, it does not refer to the physical kingdom, which the Jewish people were expecting somebody who would come and rescue them from the Roman Empire. But the kingdom of God refers to spiritual kingdom where Christ rules, whereby we, the disciples of Christ, are under the rule of Christ. And so from this passage, what I would like us to learn is this. The kingdom of God is a hidden treasure with great value and therefore requires personal sacrifice. Once again, the kingdom of God is a hidden treasure with great value and therefore requires personal sacrifice. So from these three verses, we are going to draw 3 points. First, the kingdom of God is a hidden treasure, which is very obvious. Second, the kingdom of God has great value. Third, the kingdom of God requires personal sacrifice. But first, let us examine what it means by the kingdom of God is a hidden treasure. Verse 44, there we read, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You know, this man did not deliberately found this treasure. He was just walking on this particular field and he stumbled over this treasure. And he didn't know that there was treasure hidden in that field. You know, in those days, children, they did not have banks like M&T or Wells Fargo or Bank of America. So in the first century, when they had savings, they would dig a hole on the field and bury them. And that's why this man who was walking on the field, he stumbled over a treasure. Nobody knew that there was a treasure. It was concealed and not revealed. Probably it might have been remained there for a very long time. But without any anticipation or deliberation, he stumbled over this treasure. And knowing that this was a treasure, he didn't want to lose it. And so, he wanted to possess this treasure. And in those days, to rightly possess the treasure, he had to buy that field. So, he was filled with joy after finding this treasure. Yeah, he didn't deserve this treasure. And now that he has this treasure, he can meet all his physical needs. So we are told that he diligently went forth and sold all that he had to possess this treasure. If you reflect upon your lives, once upon a time, the kingdom of God was hidden and concealed to all of us. For many years, we have been blind. We were spiritually dead and spiritually blind. But someone came and shared the gospel to us. And our eyes were opened and we saw the kingdom of God. We receive Christ. And what a joy. What a joy. What a joy of salvation that we experienced at that time. It was a discovered treasure for all of us. And as you can reflect, you did not intentionally or deliberately look for Christ. But Christ was freely offered to you. Just like this treasure. And some of us, when we received Christ, we were ostracized by family, like for myself. I came from a Hindu family, and when my father came to know that I just came back from worship service, He was so furious, he took a chair to beat me, and he chased me out of the house. I had no place to go. I returned home that night. But after that, my father didn't say anything about my faith. But as I grew older, one Sunday he entered my room and said, "Son, today it is Sunday, are you not going to church?" And that's where I realized the Lord has changed his heart to allow me to go to church. And I thank God for the treasure that God gave me, Christ. And receiving this treasure calls for sacrifice. Sacrifice of job and time and so on for some of us. And you know what the Apostle Paul says about Christ? He says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, today the world is interested in treasures like gold and silver, diamonds. But here we read, in Christ is hidden all treasures which are wisdom and knowledge. The fools reject God because they don't have wisdom. But we have wisdom, and therefore we know God exists. And we know that we can only receive salvation through Christ. And thank God for that wisdom which is found in Christ. Since in Christ is found the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, we need to possess Christ. Just like the man possessed the field to possess the treasure. In John 3:16 we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life is only found in Christ. Therefore, we need to possess Christ. You know, too many people are not interested in eternal life today. They are very concerned about the earthly treasures. They work long hours to the extent of jeopardizing their family, spiritual life, marriage. Surprisingly, even among Christians, Christ is no longer treasure to them. But Christ himself exhorts us and encourages us with this verse, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal." But listen to verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There is a relationship with heart and treasure. You know, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be, says Christ. The heart is the place of desire and longing. The heart leads our will and single-mindedness. We set our heart on the highest treasure. And how true is this verse? If Christ is your treasure, then you would single-mindedly love and serve him. Is the Lord the treasure and delight of your heart? Or your friends, job, leisure, sports? You may have temporary joy in all these things, but you will never find eternal joy. In the book of Job, chapter 22, verse 25, it is written in this way, "The Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver, for then you will have your delight in the Almighty." See, what he's saying is this. If only God your gold and silver, then you will have delight in God. So, if Christ is your treasure and delight, then with joy you will seek and serve Christ and not with regrets or murmurings. With joy you will worship Him, pray to Him, and read scriptures, because Christ is found in worship. Christ is found in the prayer. Christ is found in the scriptures. My father-in-law was a pastor, but before he became a pastor, he was an actor and a businessman, a successful businessman. But when he came to know Christ, he had great joy, and he wanted to share this gospel with others. So he gave all his business to his storekeeper, and he went into seminary. And when he came out from the seminary, he established several churches in Singapore, Malaysia, and in India. He took Christ as his treasure. The second point is, the kingdom of God has great value. In verse 45, we read, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Do you notice this verb, seeking and not found? Seeking. Unlike in the verse 44, the treasure was found. But here, this merchant was seeking for great pearls. And the merchant, while seeking for beautiful pearls, he found one pearl of great price. And ladies, you know, generally, ladies will not have these names like silver or gold, but pearl. Pearl is a very nice name. And what is a pearl? Pearl is a silvery, hard, shining gem found in the shell of oysters. It is regarded precious, valuable, and sometimes if they are rare, they are very expensive. And that's what this merchant found. A pearl of great price. And it has great value. You know what Christ says about the pearl? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." In other words, what Christ is teaching is this: do not give the things to those who do not know the value of those things. This merchant understood the value of this particular pearl, and he didn't want to give to anyone. He went forth, he sold everything, even the other pearls that he had, in order to possess this pearl of great price. You know, today there are many religious leaders and founders. They are exalted and worshipped, but they do not have any great value as Christ. But Christ, the pearl, has great value. Christ himself claims the great I am. In the Gospel of John, we find the seven great I ams from his mouth. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine, and you are the branches." But particularly, "I am the resurrection and the life." Christ, the Son of God, came to this world. He died, was buried, but he rose again. If only he had not raised up, we would not have the gospel. But look at the other religious founders. They all died. They stay in the grave. They have no great value. But Christ has great value. Christ the pearl has great value because his greatness can be found in his three offices: Christ being the prophet, priest, and king. Christ the prophet is superior to Moses and other prophets. New prophets were raised and they all died and others succeeded. But Christ is the everlasting prophet and his ministry never, never ceases. Second, Christ the priest. Christ the priest is superior to Aaron because Christ's priesthood continues forever. You know, when Aaron died, his son Eleazar succeeded. And so there were many other priests who succeeded, one after another. But Christ's priesthood is not by inheritance. It is given to him, and he continues to be priest forever. Even right now, as a high priest, at the right hand of God, he's praying for each one of us here. Such is the greatness of this pearl, Christ our pearl. Third, Christ the King is superior to any earthly king because his kingly rule continues forever. You know, although David and Solomon were great kings, but they died. And there was an end to their kingdoms and greatness. Even the Grecian and Roman empires came to an end. But Christ is an everlasting kingdom. There is no end. His throne is forever and ever. One author says in this way, Christ infinitely transcends all the beauty and glory of the world. No king was anointed with such power, no prophet with such wisdom, no priest with such grace. He is our king to govern, our prophet to teach, our priest to save. How precious! Give me Christ or else I die. How many of us in this room can say that? Give me Christ or I'll die. You know, during Christ's ministry on this earth, people heard his preaching and his teaching, and they said, who is this? He spoke with such authority, and nobody else spoke like him. He was a great prophet. And he's the great priest because John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb who saves us from our sins. Third, the kingdom of God requires personal sacrifice. As we saw, this man and the merchant, they sold everything to possess their treasure and great pearl. And for us, it requires great sacrifice to possess Christ. Let us not be like the rich young ruler, but be like Paul. And why I say the rich young ruler, if you remember the account, the rich young ruler came after Christ and he knelt down before him and he asked Jesus, Christ, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Christ asked him, did you do all these commandments? He said, from my youth, I followed all these commandments. And then Christ said, sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. Take up the cross and follow me. The rich young ruler went away sorrowfully. Why? He was unable to sacrifice all his possessions. He did not receive eternal life. But on the other hand, we have the Apostle Paul who said this, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul valued Christ more than anything else. He counted everything rubbish, dung, that he may gain Christ. But on the other hand, do Christians literally need to sell everything they have to acquire this treasure? Absolutely no. What it is being taught here is this, that we must have the willingness to forgo everything that stands between us and in the way of Christ. We must be willing to sacrifice anything that stands between us and Christ. The problem today is this. We do not actively pursue this pearl of great price as the merchant did. Because if we do, we would be like Paul, classifying all others as rubbish. Where is Christ in your life? When making serious, critical decisions in your life, is Christ in that decision-making process? Are your decisions pleasing to Christ? Perhaps you have to make a decision concerning marriage. Is Christ in that decision-making process? Perhaps you have a difficult business dealings. Is Christ found in that process? So, is Christ your treasure and pearl? Is your heart set on Christ? Is Christ your pearl of great price? You know, a great value also comes with high cost. A great sacrifice needs to be made. Are you willing to lose all things to possess Christ for the present and future? Perhaps it is the sacrifice of time, money, profit, pleasures, honors, reputation, etc. Before I end, I'd like to share a short story with you young people. There was a wealthy lady of Java. She was married to an English merchant. And so she moved to England because she has to follow her husband. She was not good in her language, and she was not accustomed to the culture in England. She stayed most of her time at home and often playing with her children. But she had a large collection of jewels and pearls. She had a treasure box. She enjoyed looking at her collection and enjoying the glitter of the jewels under the sunlight. This Javanese lady said to a nurse who came to her house, in broken English, she said, "This place is a poor place. You know, my country, we had diamonds and pearls." And then the nurse replied to the Javanese lady, "Well, we have a pearl in this country, pearl of great price." Then the Javanese lady said to the nurse, "Well, when my husband comes, I want to sell all so that I can possess this pearl that you're saying." Then the nurse explained this pearl of great price to her. "This pearl gives peace. This pearl came into this world to save sinners. Count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Him," she said. And that is Jesus. And then God blessed the words of the nurse. The Javanese lady believed, and she realized that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. The glittering of the gems that she had ceased. There was no more attraction in what she had. She desired that all her jewels be sold and the money be used to proclaim the message of Christ in all over the world. She realized the value of the pearl and wished that others might realize the value of this pearl, the Lord Jesus Christ. So having found Christ as the pearl and the treasure, what are we doing? Are we spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, may the Lord bring reformation and revival first in our families, second in our church, and then in this area. Let us hold Jesus Christ, our treasure and the great pearl. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this passage that reveals to us that Christ is our treasure and a pearl of great price. Lord, help us to possess this Christ. Give us grace, O Lord. All these things we ask and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, treasure and pearl. Amen.